The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Sin with the Agile Uprising. We have completed six. And we are on number seven, greed. And joining me today, Chris Merman and Jasper Ortling. Welcome, gentlemen.
Nice to be here.
Nice to be here, indeed.
We are covering some time zones. Chris is up early. Jasper's staying up late. I'm kind of...
we still have daylight here.
A rousing discussion of celebrating national holidays in another country.
Yes, like the 4th of July in Denmark.
All right, so we'll do the usual, the textbook definition, talk about how this shows up in our environments, the positives, the negatives, and then maybe the flip side. Chris, you always like a good definition. What is greed?
So I think keeping with the theme of everything, I will answer the question, but my return question to you, Andy, is going to be, so I'll let you think about it, is why do you think we saved greed for last? Cause we didn't pick any of these sins like specifically in a row or in a specific order. I was just wondering, like, I wonder if we like mentally we saved greed for last on purpose. So anyway, ponder that. And I guess greed to me is an unhealthy desire for accumulating money, wealth, possessions. I don't have enough ism, right? Which is what we've been exploring through this series, if I'm not mistaken, is that all of these are an unhealthy desire for something. So we're really, I think that the cool part about this discussion is we can go in a lot of different directions with this, because I mean, wanting wealth can take you in a lot of different directions, right, Andy?
Yeah, so you talk about wealth in terms of possessions, animate, inanimate. What would you add to that insatiable desire, Jasper? What is there anything missing?
It could be possessions. It could also be a position in the company. So getting up the ladder in the company, getting a better job, getting higher up, being the CEO. If we aim that far, so that could be a greed as well, I assume, which could be driven by the wealthy possessions, etc. But I think the position and the power part of the position could be part of greed as well.
Jasper, we covered this in a previous pod, but since you weren't there, I'm curious of your take on this. What do you think, if you had to compare, like, say, envy, right? Again, envy is an unhealthy desire for something, right? But it is different from greed in a sense. So in your mind, how do you differentiate between the two of greed and envy?
I actually thought quite a lot about that because I listened to the podcast on envy, obviously. And I think they go hand in hand, right? I think at some point, Jay, he drew this map of the sins. And I think that the envy is kind of driving the greed, or the greed is driving the envy. So you get envious when you look at something, and that builds the greed, and then you start driving for it. So
I think there's a tension. Envy is you want it, right? I crave what you have. Greed is I've got it and you can't have it.
That could be
almost like you're wanting to want things. Like envy is like I am in a constant state of I am in a deficit, and I must catch, that keeping up with the Joneses
For sure.
sort of thing. You know, the what do you, Andy, what, let me toss it your way. What do you think went from a greed perspective? Is there an aspect of I choose, I am desiring in an unhealthy level wealth, material wealth, possessions, kind of a thing. There's a matter of like it will get me something. Like I will get something if I have this. Like the dog eventually will catch the car, right? But like, does that resonate here with you?
Yeah, there's great self-interest, right? But I think it crosses the line from healthy self-interest to this sin when I do it at your expense, right?
I
I've got
need that. I need
the
that
budget. I've got
promotion.
the
So,
budget. You don't.
right.
I've got the
Oh.
staff. You don't. I've got the decision-making power because of my position. And you don't. And that's where it becomes a sin and it becomes conflict and not healthy.
Very much. That is our official first shots fired of the episode is that's my budget. It's my decision. How many days could we say we've encountered that in our jobs? Like I have it and you don't, which, and when you're the haver of it, it's not like greed is when you finally, like I said, the dog catching the car, when you finally have the money, it's not like that sin goes away. It's now I need to let you know that I have it and you don't. Like that nasty side of it is where office conflict comes in, right?
And it's insatiable. The dog bought the car. Well, I'm going after the next one and the next one and the next one. It's never enough.
I don't have just five people reporting to me. Now I need 10. Like now I need an entire department. I need a team of 300. I'm over a program of over 1,000. Like there's all of these numbers that I've trained X number of, I've doled out this number of certifications or, and again, wanting to do those things, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be successful. Like I guess, especially in the country I live, there is no condemnation for those that want good things because that's what our society is built off of, right? But getting there doesn't solve it. In fact, it almost makes it worse, right, Jasper?
Yeah, it does, no, I live in a country where actually there's kind of a cap on how successful you can be. So because we have a very, very social society where the broader shoulders carry the smaller ones or those in need. I think there was a couple of at least one president in the US who called it what do you call it, liberal socialism or something like that. But basically it is so people are okay with you being successful until a certain limit, then they don't like it, right? And I think one of my countrymen, David Heinemeier Hansson, he writes a lot about this. He's the Ruby on Rails guy. he's actually born in Denmark. And he writes a lot of this sometimes, and that he's so happy that he's living in the US because he's not limited by this cap in Denmark now that he can only be greedy to
Interesting.
a certain
So
extent.
there's that balance between personal goals, achievements, and social goals and achievements. And what I'm
Exactly, yeah.
hearing you saying is in Denmark, there is a collective thumb on the scale of social is more important than personal. And there's, I don't know if it's legislation or
No, it's not.
taxation or something else, but there are limits. Whereas in the US, it's Wild,
Yeah.
Wild
Well,
West.
taxation is world famous, right, in Denmark. So the Danish taxation. So we pay an horrendous percentage in tax. So I'm probably around 55% of my total income is paid back in tax to the system. But then I have free schools and free healthcare and everything. So obviously there's a couple of benefits coming with that. So but it kind of limits people, so there's ambition sometimes, and people are also those people who are tremendously successful. They are not always really liked in the society. Of course, we are proud of our very successful people, like the owner of Maersk, the big shipping company, and these guys who have really made it. So it's the biggest in the world, right? But again, we're kind of looking, ah, they're so rich. They must be doing something illegal, right? So,
Where do you think, Andy, where do you, as outsiders, right? Like we, when I hear Jesper share really inspiring words about the attitude they have as a country, where do you think that notion of I will forgo my personal, like, ladder climbing, like personal success over the collective, like you said, Jasper, something to the effect of like we are responsible for the collective good overall and caring for the overall ecosystem of everybody more than myself. I feel like that's where, again, he said there's a cap, right? There's a cap on how much you can make. So there is going to be a cap on your greed there because you just literally can't get more to that. Like, Andy, where do you think that comes from?
Look at the difference. So I think it's an awareness of perhaps the darker side of human nature. And Denmark says, we will not tolerate that darkness. And we're going to put in some guardrails, if you will. Now, if you look at the US and you look at the multi-gazillion billionaires, there's clearly no cap. Are they balancing social good versus personal gain? I don't think some of those gazillionaires are doing such a good job at that. How, if you look at the billions upon billions that they possess, are they funneling it back into good causes? Yes. Could they do more? Yes. But also, there's an ego-driven nature, right? And is that the status aspect of greed? I want my own ship to Mars type thing. That's
Well, that's
status and
the
power, but there's also
right.
an element of vision. It's just, I don't know that I answered your question, but
No,
I
but
thought
I mean, I think
there's
the closest thing
unique.
we, the closest thing we came, we've come to that in the US is like I forget what is exactly it's called, but Sam Bankman-Fried, who recently just got sent to prison for embezzling billions from his customers at FTX, but he had this notion of I want to help society, and so my goal is to make as much money as humanly possible so that I can then give it back away. But I am intent. I'm going to use my quant skills, my huge brain, right? I'm going to use it to make all the money so that I can give all of it away. That like that he and it looked like he was on his way to doing that until he, stole a bunch of his customers' money and then got caught with it, right? But he was on his way to doing that.
What happened?
I mean, you can't set out to make all of the money and not skirt a few corners, right? I mean, I regardless, we were trying to figure out like how society does that. So maybe let's bring this a little closer to home. So it started with, hey, all right, I'm, the early trainers, right, in our industry, those are the ones that really started making it big time. And I'm not bagging on trainers here, right? But like the first path to agility, like grabbing that brass ring was, I have my tee, I got my own shingle, all I need is like two, three classes a month, and I'm rolling in it. And then it turned into, all right, I my hourly consulting rate, my hourly this rate, and the rates just started going up and up and up. I don't know that greed was there for us early on, but then once we started seeing our friends at conferences, and I mean, I remember the first time I was like, wait, you make how much? Just doing trainer classes, you make how much? And till I started realizing like there is a lot of money to be made in this industry. When did y'all first realize that that's where we were headed?
Well, I realized it quite early on because I was in a company and I was actually head of learning and development, so I was paying for
Sure.
it. And I was looking at my former colleague, won't mention his name here, and then his invoice. I'm just saying, okay. Okay, you must add a lot of value here. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's the flip side of the coin, right? That's the good
Exactly.
side of the tendency as humans,
Right.
as you said, just to deliver value and do good work and help people out of a deterministic mechanism way of delivering that value to the iterative probabilistic that is at the root of all that training. Let's find a new way to a better way, right? And that was the good aspect and the generous aspect, and the people doing the work needed slack time to learn, right? And so that learning and development, all that comes together, but at some point it went south or north, depends on which direction you don't like. Where's south bend? Anyway, that's a whole nother conversation. So it went wrong, right? The greed aspect kicked in. And you know, what happened with Bankman-Fried? When did he cross that line from virtuous to the opposite?
I mean, he realized that he wanted to make some bets that, again, for the record, financially, the bets that he made for FTX paid off, right? Like he the bright lining in the story of FTX is they were able to, because of the bets that Bankman-Fried made, they were able to pay all of their people back whose money he took, right? So hey, that's cool. The problem is that he skirted, SEC obligations, caused violations, broke federal law in order to do so. You cannot take people's money and use it for things that they didn't approve of, right? Regardless of how good it is. And you're like, no. It's fine. We'll pay the account back when, this part of the company will borrow from this part of the company, put it over here. We'll make the money. We'll put it back. Nobody would be none the wiser until we did, right? Like that's, again, making it closer to home. It's okay to say, hey, I mean, we've all said something on our resume or in an interview or something, and then it comes time to deliver it, and we're like, oh man, I told them that I knew how to do this. I mean, there is a level of that we've all done, and we're taught just to say yes, I can do that, and then figure it out along the way. But at some point in time, we have done a bit of a disservice to our industry by trying to take on efforts and to do things that we had no business doing, and it caught up to us. I mean, that is that a fair way to say
It's a
about?
paradox for me, Chris, right? So first you sell it, and then once you figure out how to sell it, you figure out how to deliver it. That is the nature of capitalism, right?
Right.
You don't spend a whole bunch building it, we've discovered, and then go try to sell it. And so capitalism, which is the basis of all business, at least in our respective yards, is to make money, deliver value, get paid for it. And sometimes there's that short-term decision that you were talking about that led to long-term value. I just don't know when it goes wrong. When did we as an industry go wrong? Become the shirts and certs when we industrialized it 10 years ago? Was that just greed driving it? I'm not sure.
I think that maybe there's a market dynamic in it as well. So if you're looking at that paradox between greed and greed being actually maybe the cornerstone or even the keystone in capitalism, right? Then so as soon as you offer something up, and then everyone wants to become agile, And there's a huge demand for our services, right? So it just
Right.
keeps growing. And then you have this offer and this offer, and this offer is paying 10% more. Oh, well, let me go there, because that becomes a differentiator. Maybe not so much whether it's interesting or not. So,
And now that everybody's been through a class, they're like, now what?
yeah,
Right?
now
Like,
what?
maybe that's the best way to describe our industry right now is I've gone through your training. Now what? Right?
Exactly.
Now what's going to come?
I'm still only delivering real value every month, every th second or third or fourth month. So what
Yeah,
now?
exactly.
So,
It's
yeah.
funny. It's funny, Andy. Like I think that as you know, again, I feel like we're gonna touch on other sins just because we're wrapping up the sins with this one. But it just feels like every single conversation that we've had so far, it's been we had the best of intentions, right? None of these sins came about us, our industry, because we thought it's fine. We just need to sin a little bit. Like, we've been good. Let's start sinning. Like, nobody ever said that, right? Like, this is, again, it's when healthy desires slowly transition to, like, it's just like, do you think that there's people that go, I want my MBA because I need to learn more about business? That's not what people say when they get their MBA. They get their MBA because they're like, now I can put in for a promotion. I can get a raise. I mean, like, people are still getting their PMP. People are still getting their, like, there is these letters, these degrees, these certifications, right? And if you get a shirt with it, great. I'm sure when you get an MBA, there's a shirt that comes with it too. Just it's got the university's name on it, right?
And it's
But it's just,
embroidered instead of
it,
silk screen.
yeah, for sure. But it's the same concept. Like, I'm going to go do this because it will get me more money, right? That's the only, and that, again, dear listener, please do not, if you're looking in the mirror going like, Merman is yet again telling me why I'm calling you a bad person, calling me a bad person. No, every single one of these sins I've been guilty of, and I'm just now realizing that maybe instead of pretending like it doesn't exist, maybe we should talk about it. Right? Like, that's all that we're asking for is to just talk about it. Is that fair, Andy?
Confession
Sure.
with a question mark. I maybe I'm an outlier. I sought education for a useful purpose. My greed, if I look for it, was not about status or position. Well, maybe it was tangentially. It was about making the world of work, wherever I touched it, a little bit better. That doesn't cross into a sin for me. I truly had good works in mind. I wasn't looking to take over the PMO. I'm not looking to take over the next position. So maybe I'm an aberration.
I don't know that you're an aberration. I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess, Jasper, what is the closest that you feel like you've come to experiencing the greed that we've been discussing?
Yeah, but when I was younger, I was actually really, really greedy. And I was going for a C-level position, dead on. And that's basically where I wanted to go. Then life hit me. I got a really serious case of arthritis, and that kind of limits your ambitions. So I had to resettle. I got my C-level job anyway, but it wasn't called CLO. But at least I was up there with the big guys. But so I was lucky, but that was me being greedy. But nowadays I'm just greedy on interest, and I hate being bored. So
Yeah.
I just go looking for work that's really, really interesting, where I get really challenged. And if I don't have it, then I find something else. And that's also that's kind of my greed. I also like to read, a bit like someone else who's sometimes on this podcast. I read quite a lot. And that's also greed. I want more knowledge. I want more things in my head which I can work with, and that's where I'm greedy today. But I was that greedy for that position there. I wanted to get to the top and really
Yeah.
make it. And so I got a sniff from it.
There
But
was definitely I,
then
you know, I it's been the time since I've known Andy. There was a position that when I got it, I remember saying to them, "I have finally made it. Like this position says, I'm now somebody.
got it.
I owned something. I got to it, and I could not have been more miserable in that position. A lot of reasons for that, ton of reasons for that have nothing to do with me, right? Like the organization, still to this day, a lot of instability issues, a lot of budget concerns, a lot of misaligned expectations. Stop me if you've heard this before, people listening at home. Like if your company sounds like this, that's a lot of these companies, right? But my part was, I felt by being in this position, I was now at the big kids table. In my mind, I was always in search of what I felt like was my spot at the table, which comes from my childhood and my early 20s, and there's always a bit of childhood trauma in everything that we do, right? But thank you, therapy. I can at least admit it. But wanting that for the wrong reasons is definitely what is part of why I did not last there very long. And that's just what we have to experience sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. It's not always, and the grass is not always greener at the neighbor's. So when you get over there, it's a bit yellowish.
There is no such thing as, I mean, I heard someone say it recently in a meeting, it was in reference to something else, but the metaphor is still prescient to me of like there is no such thing as a green field anymore. And it may in some ways, I mean, that's a bit cynical, right? To say there's literally no new ground to be plowed anywhere, right? Like, 'cause that approach is a very fixed mindset, but it also can ground you to be like, hey, listen, like there's no we're not playing in green fields or just levels of brown, right? So acknowledging that
Good
kind of
key.
pulls you away from this idea of like I'm the savior, right?
Yeah, but that's a nice feeling when you get to feel that I'm the savior,
Oh my
isn't
gosh. Oh my gosh.
it?
That so we that is definitely in pride that we touched upon, and you know.
It's problematic because throughout history, that position is temporary. They all saviors end up in the same way. Yeah,
Exactly.
right? Toppled eventually. And so perhaps the message here is beware of the paradox, beware of giving in to that pressure. We're in organizational change. Change can be good, but seeking position, power, at the expense of social good, not a good thing.
No,
Good thing.
and
So, Chris.
it's a real fine balance, right? Because you want to do good, and you're really hungering to help out and to really get there, and then suddenly you tip over the scale and you start doing something which is probably not so healthy, just to get to that point where you really want to go, right? So it's a fine balance, I think.
For sure.
You opened up with why did we do greed last? I don't know that there's a reason. We it if you look at the seven deadly sins, are they in a particular list on anybody's inventory? I think we just went through them and like, hey, that one sounds good, and we finally got to the end. What's missing? And we crossed
Yeah.
things off the list, and there was greed.
Following our consistent content strategy of what do we feel like doing this week? So I got an idea that and to try to shift us more into a positive and kind of put a bow on these sins. So Jasper, as you know, like we always try to find a way of like how can greed be good, right? When I was thinking about, well, what do I do when I I want when I want more of something, right? You could say like, well, get it so that you can realize you don't need it. Well, but that's fine until you reach that mental cliff of, oh, I've reached too far up the ladder and I'm about to fall off, like I better stop. Like until we get there, it can get pretty nasty, right? So what I was thinking about proactively saying, how do I avoid wanting more than I need? It's the idea of I need to do stuff for free or stuff that I'm okay not making money for, right? I made the decision long ago with my personal blog that I didn't really want ads on it, that I didn't want to write for the purpose of making revenue off of it. Because when I learned in a professional kitchen in college, and they were like, "Hey, you're pretty decent at this. Like, would you make a career out of it?" I made the decision of I don't want people to have to pay me. I don't want my living to have to be earned off of my cooking or my writing or my anything that is a creative endeavor for me. Like this podcast. I mean, Andy, we get a little bit of revenue from it, but it does not cover the amount of money that we as a group pay to keep this AU ship afloat, right? Like this is not something we are doing for, I'm doing this for the love of the game, for lack of a better way to put it. Like it
Full
almost,
disclosure, we make $25 a month on a good month on ad revenue. I
Yep,
mean,
everything else comes out of our pocket.
it's like 10 or 11 bucks, but a good month is 25, and that covers the hosting cost. It covers the occasional, go put down get the license for Opus Clips, or Otter or something else that drives us. Hey, can we make that a little bit easier? But what you're coming back to, Chris, in my mind is the virtue, the counteraction of greed is charity, giving it away, cooking and giving it away, writing and giving it away to others that can use it, and that is good.
Yeah, like there's so many movies that I could think of where somebody says some version of, if you're good at something, never give it away for free. Like to quote the Joker in The Dark Knight, right? Like I think that is where, like saying I'm not going to, and we all have our own personal boundaries, right? So like if you're a professional coach and that is how you make your money, if someone wants an hour of mentoring from you, yeah, it can sometimes feel a bit taxing to be like, oh my, I do this all day and now I need to do it for free on top of that. Like it can feel like a challenge, but I will say everything that I do gratis on the side, like mentoring people at my company. I don't get paid extra for that. I don't get bonus extra for that. Or the time that I spend working with submitters for the Agile Alliance conference, like working with them on their submissions, doing webinars. Yes, I make this much money. I get paid a little bit of money from the Alliance to do my job as a program chair, but it is far, that is a pittance compared to the amount of time that I spent, right? Like we doing this because we want to do it is the cure for wanting. You can't want more when you're willing to give it away for free, right?
That's true.
I mean, that's Denmark. That's what you described in the very beginning, Jasper, is like I pay more than half of the money I make goes to the Denmark version of Uncle Sam. And the trust is you all will do with it better than I can.
Basically, yes. And there's also a trust in providing free education to kids, for example, will help the country to grow faster and grow better. And it seems to work, at least. We're doing quite well, I would say, in Denmark. So we're only the second happiest country in the world, but we're doing quite well.
Let's just take a little sidetrack. Is there restriction on how many hours people are allowed to work and how many vacation days they must take in Denmark? Is
Yes.
there a balance between deliver value and have some slack time?
Yeah, we have a mandatory 5-week vacation in Denmark, and typically the companies pay a 6-week of vacation. So we have 6 weeks of vacation pay, plus the national holidays and weekends. So which is quite a lot compared to the US.
Yeah,
I
and
mean, our version of that, Andy, is it's just if you have a company that pays vacation days, like the place where I work, it's you lose your paid time off hours. Like there is a cap on how much can roll over, right? So I can't roll over more than a week of vacation to the following year. That's the one the running joke in the US has always been, just bank your vacation days, and then when you quit your job, you've got a nice bonus on top of it because you've got all this paid time that you never use. There is a greed aspect to that of like, I can't take time off. I'm trying to bank my vacation days. What if there's a layoff and I need this money for that? And again, you keep thinking, I need this, I need this, I need this. So companies started getting wise to that and saying, fine, if you're not going to use it, we're not going to give it to you. Like you're going to lose it. And we've all known that coworker where you've like, they were like, dang, one of my friends at work the other day was like, dang it, I'm like I just lost 3 days of vacation. And I'm like, what? And he said, yeah, we had until April 1st to use this our vacation days when that before they get, you know. And he's like, I lost 3 days. And I'm like, okay, well, would you have taken 3 days off? Yeah, I could have rested 3 days. Well, then why didn't we? Right? Like that, again, this is something that we all do that is just, you know.
Fear of missing out. So coming back to the second happiest country in the world, that's such a leading indicator of health.
Yeah,
So
could
you're
be.
paying half goes into the community fund, and everybody's happy about it.
I think
Or
the
happy
happiest one
enough
is,
with it not to leave.
I think number one is Finland, and they have pretty much the same kind of tax system as we have in Denmark. So it seems to work at least for people. So.
How do we, Andy, how do we? Obviously, I'm not asking the US to turn into Finland or Denmark overnight because it's
Don't do
just not
that.
possible. Like, it's just not possible. There is a different approach, different mentality, different
Different
everything, right?
population, different size, different scale, different
It's okay
people,
to be different. It is okay
different
to be
history.
different, right? It is
So.
okay to be different. However, I do feel like we could glean some. Hey, I can't. We're not trying to change the US, but our little corner, like not even entire companies, because companies are almost too big to change now, especially in the US. Most major employers, if you like companies that can afford to hire and pay a decent salary to agilists now, a lot of them banks and financial institutions, insurance, whatever, right? There are things that we can do to slice off our little corner of the world and find some of that, right? So is there, do y'all think there's something that we could take from that approach and bring a little charity, I guess, Andy, to use your word, like at charity, there is something to be gleaned from that, right?
I think it's an interesting thought because it's I've spent quite a few months, almost a couple of years in the US as well, and worked in four different states. And what I see when I'm there meeting together with the coworkers I had then is that all that charity, all that giving back happens in the small clusters of society in the US, so in the neighborhood, in the church. And people are taking care of each other there, so but it's not federalized like in Denmark. So it's done in the small communities, and at least in some places, and it's an interesting dynamic that you don't want to federalize it, but you're actually doing it in the small society. So neighbors are helping each other. I remember, God bless his memory, what's his name, Mike. When Mike unfortunately passed, one of the co-signers. What's his
Beetle.
name? Beetle, Mike Beetle. Yeah, there was a huge collection going together, right? The people were collecting for his family. And you don't see that often here in Denmark, that happening, right? Because people, okay, yeah, but society is going to take care of that.
Yeah, so it's a different value system in the US.
Interesting.
And I don't know what it's like in Denmark. I'm jaded. Whenever I see a large enterprise doing something charitable, I feel like it's a marketing PR stunt or push, because I've been inside some of those, and what really drives it is the quarterly report. And charitable contributions don't make a big difference to the stock price and what's going on there. Is
Well,
there?
because in this country there are tax implications with charity, right? Like, make sure in December is always one of the most charitable months because people want to get their donations in before the tax year ends so that you can write it off the next year.
And that's a bit of greed.
Yeah,
It
for
is
sure.
that socialism, that transparent veneer of we care. Whereas what I'm hearing in places like Denmark and Finland, no, it's expected that this happens, because there's a cap on how much you can organizationally earn, personally earn. It gets rolled back into societal support.
I say you have either or. So I've actually previously been employed by a family-owned company that's really huge, where they did a huge amount of charity, not for the write-offs because they didn't have any shareholders, and they pay taxes in Denmark. But they did it because they want actually to do good. They want to give back to the world, and it was really it's really admirable the way they do it. But we also have other companies. So we just had a big scandal in Denmark with one company that polluted a river and almost a whole town. And then he filed for bankruptcy and just let go. And the guy is a billionaire, right? He has all the money in the world. He could clean up after himself, but he didn't want to do it. So you have both here as well.
It's good to know the human condition is alive and well in other countries as
Yeah, and it continues.
Exactly.
Gentlemen, anything else to add? Thoughts that we didn't cover?
I really think that again, there's a lot of, we've spent, this is now our seventh podcast this year where we talk, where it feels negative, but again, every single one of these podcasts, I do want to make clear, like, some of these things, there is healthy amounts of wanting to achieve, right? There is there, it is a very human thing to say, I want to provide for my family. I want my kids to have everything that they need. I want to, I would love it if I could pay for my kids' college. I don't know that I'm going to be able to pay for all of it, but I'm going to try to pay for it as much as, like, that is a loving, caring thing to do it. But again, the desire to step on and step over to get it and not being willing to give of myself to it, like give something of greater, something of importance to me. Like there's something that feels good about giving $5 to someone on the streets, right? Are you going to really change the world? No. But again, that $5 wasn't just about that one person, right? It's also about you and your heart wanting to not hold on to everything. So just to have strong beliefs lightly held, right? Same thing with your money. It's okay to want your money as long as you lightly hold on to it. Be willing to share, be willing to buy lunch, be willing to that no, you don't need an expense report for. Be willing to spend your time when your money is per hour, give some of your time away. Like, give some to someone who needs it, because if you've got any experience whatsoever, like, it's going to be valuable and helpful to somebody else. Like, that you don't need recognition, payment, reward for doing everything, right?
I agree. And I'm at a point in my life and my career where I have enough. I wish I had double. That would be nice.
Sure.
But it ain't going to happen. So I'm going to live within what I've got. I don't need more. And my next bit of journey is finding a way to give back. And I don't know where it's going to take me, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Closing thoughts, Jasper? I know you're also in a transition, trying
Yeah, I am.
new ground.
It's more professional transition, I guess. I also found a couple of courses where I'm giving back one way or the other. So I'm helping to grow guide dogs for the blind, for example. And then I get these real cool calendars with small puppies on, and they're really cute. But it's good to give because it's a worthy course and it's really expensive to train a dog for guiding a blind person.
Sure.
So that's one of the courses that I support, and I think I'm also at a stage in life where I probably have enough. So I don't necessarily need to pursue more, but my greed for knowledge and my greed for interesting stuff is still pushing me to try and do something which adds value as well, or find new jobs, new interesting things. So I think we should, it's again, I think it's a balance. We need to be greedy in some form, but we should always be aware that we are not stepping on other people, for sure. So
Be
see,
greedy for things
see.
that don't reward us.
Yes. See
Or
gluttony. Yeah.
reward us financially.
Yeah,
Right.
see
I
gluttony.
think what I know about you, sir, is you have a healthy appetite for those things. And maybe it's semantics. I don't see you even close to crossing the line of greed with your appetite for knowledge. Same for you, Chris. Who wants to land
Thanks.
a plane today? We're coming up on the end.
I'll do it. This series was the brainchild of our buddy Mr. Leff and myself. So I am hopeful that we are not done talking about things that seem not great but can be turned for good. We had discussed doing discussing the virtues of life, and maybe they're not as all that they're cracked up to be, and in this notion of we just live in a world of grays, as my shirt says, that we are just a various shades of gray in life and not black and white. So I like exploring these things that seem good but they're not so great, seem bad but they're not so terrible. I like this discussion because the grays are where we really find nuance in life, and that's inspiring to me. So I'm thankful that everybody that has listened. We've had a lot of cool comments on our Discord. So if you're not on our Discord, please join us. Doesn't cost you a single thing, and you get to troll me for free. Doesn't cost you a single dollar to make fun of my accent at all. And if you feel like making fun of the Eagles in a few months, please join the Discord because they're going to be terrible again,
Shots
and I can't.
fired.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not covering up for the fact that my team's going to suck at all. But I really appreciate everybody participating. And for folks like Jasper who and Claudia who have kind of tagged in on the side a little bit to come help us with it, that are participating in the conversation about it. Because again, all the fun about these podcasts is in the nuance and in the conversation afterwards. So please find us on Discord. Yes, we do have a Patreon, but I guarantee you're not going to be the biggest contributor to it. So the board are the biggest contributors to our own Patreon so we can pay our bills. So anyways, on behalf of Andy, on behalf of Jasper and the rest of the crew that have done the seven deadly sins of transformation, this is Chris Merman, Agile Uprising. Bye.